You are now listening to King of the Court podcast.
Court Podcast Season 6 Episode 1. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
What up, though?
Who that?
You got Stone Cold Stevie here?
I don't have a cool nickname. You can just call me Coach Chris, I guess.
There you go. That's your cool nickname right there. I don't get it. I don't have a cool nickname. Call me Coach Chris.
That's just mad professional. It's true. It's like...
It's perfect. We're going off social media handles and stuff, and you got your actual profession.
I remember someone called me by my social media handle outside in the streets, like first time meeting them, and I was just like, that's awkward.
My social media handle is my first initial, my last name. It's not really like anything cool.
Yeah, no, but it's crazy if someone to call you Stone Cold Stevie, like people refer to me as Hollywood Hammond, and it just sounds weird when I'm not saying it.
Yeah, it's like, really?
You definitely engulf Hollywood. Like, you have definitely taken on that character.
Have I?
Yes.
I fucking feel it. Right now. I hate dealing with you. Are you kidding?
Sunglasses alone, man.
Yeah.
That's my thing, you know.
Bad enough. I started telling you to just buy more cologne. I was like, who the fuck this guy think he is?
I have. I'm going to need another dresser. You know, my little dresser has got together a nice little collection.
Yeah. Proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Long time coming. I'm proud of you.
I just have my few little scents, but I said, you know.
Yeah, man. But
that's
know,
the thing. I mean, yeah. But we all rubbing off on each other.
I got a new cologne on today, man. I'm excited to wear it.
You know, we have hair. You know, you have a full head of hair. And look at you wearing hats now.
Who, me?
You know, all because of JT. JT needs to wear a hat. We don't, but look at you. You got a hat absolutely. Collection.
JT has definitely got me back on my fitted stuff.
Yeah. You never used to wear hats. Now you got a whole bunch of hats.
Yeah.
All like little spawns of each other.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that. Look at us influence each other.
Look at that. Look at us.
Word. I started wearing hair. JT was like, you don't gotta live like this. You got hair. Just grow it out.
That's black and brown people can't coexist like this.
You got like movie star little hair though, Stevie.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So I was hanging out with my bald friends.
Yeah, I'm like, at work, go for man. It. Can we get started? I'm at work.
He does. I tell him all the time, like, stop wasting that haircut. Like, do like a modeling gig or something. Like,
It sucks, man. I gotta be mad, like nice and overkind, because just people just assume
that haircut is fire.
They assume I'm Hollywood, and I'm like, no, I just want to have a regular conversation.
You got like '90s like sitcom hair,
like Full House.
Full House, yeah, Uncle Jesse haircut. All right, guys. All right, let's start with
What's been going on in the league?
I mean, this is probably not the first thing that's going to catch everyone's eyes, but the Bulls players only meeting after opening night.
Yeah, I'm here for smoke. I'm here for beef. Game one. And they still didn't get it together.
Well, what the hell happened?
Well, they got their boots smoked by the Thunder last night, and it wasn't pretty after the first quarter. I checked on it. I was looking up a few of the highlights. I was looking, and it's Vooch was going at it on the sideline with Billy Donovan during the game. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, they decided they were going to have a meeting. Coach asked them if they wanted to be present. Coach said, they said, nope, we would handle it ourselves. Coach stepped away. And, Billy Donovan's treating them like adults, but I don't know, man. That's not a good sign.
After the first game of the season, absolutely not. I've never heard of that before in team sports. Sounds like signs of a breakup, if you ask me.
The thing is, the Bulls got the same team from last year. They brought everyone back. Like, their entire starting lineup is pretty much back. You got people looking for extensions. You got people just trying to fight for space, fight for time, and people at the back of the bench, honestly, trying to get more minutes, and they're just sitting there while they have this, you know, their same core from last year that what brought them to the play-in.
Were they a play-in team? I think so.
Yeah, they lost to the either the Raptors or the Heat. I remember they were playing.
So, I mean, what were they
going to do? Yeah, he had his daughter, DeRozan's daughter, screaming at the Raptors.
Yeah, what do you do in this players only meeting when your starter shot 5 of 25 from the 3-point line? What is there to talk about?
I think the players meeting is definitely something like holding each other accountable. It's different from a surface level. It's different when it's your peer holding you accountable, your teammate versus your coach, because it's often assume that your coach is supposed to hold you accountable. But the flip side to that is they're professionals, you know? So it's coaching, but it's managing personalities as well. I'm not sure how many of those guys are in contract years and different things like that. But just identity wise, like if you look at the Bulls roster on paper, healthy, they can be a top 5 seed, maybe a top 6 seed, right? If they're healthy. You look at Lonzo, Zach LaVine, DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Vucevic, right? That's ideally your starting five with Kobe White, Caruso, and Drummond. That team right there, you have enough scoring, you have enough defense, you have rebounding and rim protection with Vucevic and Drummond being probably arguably still one of the best rebounders in the NBA, if not the best rebounder in the NBA per minute.
Right.
And yet they're in the play-in. I think it was a well thought out plan, but I think it's time to move on while these guys still have that. And you just try to either go get younger or you go try to attract somebody who makes sense. Like, not sure how that's gonna work, but like if I'm Chicago, I'm going to go grab somebody like a Kyrie, somebody like that, you know. Like I'll give DeRozan and maybe some young pieces for Kyrie.
Remember we spoke about this though. You want Kyrie, but do you include Lonzo in that trade package? Because Lonzo's
He has no value though right now with that injury.
I mean, right. He's just been hurt. But I mean, it's not just Lonzo. Like, I think Patrick Williams, if it's fair to say, he hasn't played up to the top 5 potential pick that he was.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And he's actually in a contract year, so he's looking for an extension. But that may not actually, if I was the Bulls, I would probably look to keep him because he's probably going to look to accelerate this year. If he does well, you give him a contract. If he doesn't do well, you part ways with him. But you damn well know he's going to give his best on a small deal like that. Maybe he'll be restricted after the season. But I definitely agree. It's
time. He's probably one of the only guys on that rookie deal that have not yet been extended.
Yeah.
So another thing to look at, you know, like even guys that were younger than him are gonna probably get the extension, but like guys like Desmond Bane has got a crazy extension. Even though Philadelphia, I feel like, is stupid enough, they haven't done it yet, but they eventually will. They're gonna extend Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
Even Cole Anthony just got his extension. Now, it wasn't the astronomical numbers that Maxey will get or Bane will get. But you know that, all right, I've got my second contract. I've got my 3-year, $40 million extension. All right, cool. Now how do I play my way into blowing up this 3-year extension and restructuring it that makes sense where now I'm getting 80, 90, maybe even 100? You know, it's a different strategy where he's like, if somebody signs me, they can sign me for 1 year, $10 million. Like, it's so unsure. Yeah. And I just don't think that team is structured where he's going to play his way into getting an extension just because so many guys need the basketball. And there's nobody out there to facilitate the basketball.
That's a big problem. It's the who's passing, who's dictating, where's that structure coming from? As far as who's scoring, I actually worry about that sometimes. I worry about that a lot of times with the Knicks until we got Brunson, but it's a big issue, especially when you got young players or people that are kind of fringe trying to get more minutes and fighting for minutes. Like, you have Torrey Craig now on the team, and he's going to take up 20 minutes a game, so someone's going to have to sit on the bench. But you have no main ball handler to pass around the ball, and I don't know if Kobe White's going to be that person.
From what I'm looking at, right, I didn't watch this game last night. I'm not going to lie. I did see some highlights, especially once I saw the score early on. I was disinterested.
Yeah, it was Wednesday night.
From what I'm looking at here, the Bulls shot 41% from the field, 39 of 94 as a team, and 28.6%, 12 of 42 as a team, right? And then the Thunder shot 54.9, you might as well say 55% from the field, and 48.7, might as well say 49%, damn near 50% from three, 83% from the free throw line. They lost 120 to 124. The Bulls didn't shoot the ball well, nor did they defend.
You mean they lost 104 to 124?
They lost 104 to 124.
Yeah.
The Thunder shot 55% from the field as a team. You might as well say 49% from three as a team, 83 from the free throw line. Yeah. And the Bulls shot 41% from the field as a team, 28 from three as a team, and 77 as a team from the free throw line. I hate to be that guy statistically that says this dictates the game, but this tells me that you didn't shoot the ball well, nor did you defend it.
Yeah, and I think the effort was probably their probably biggest issue in that
meeting. I don't think the issue was the loss. Like, it's open at night. I don't think nobody worried about the loss. What's more glaring is the players only meeting after your first loss. That's what we want. Conversation.
No, I'm just saying, like, for me personally, it's like, why are we having a meeting about this? This is the base of what it, like, you're watching the game. This is the gist of what happened.
If you start your season off with no effort, then there's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, and then like I said, I didn't watch the game, so if you can visibly see, you know, body language and
whatnot, everybody came out with fresh legs and energy this last night, and you know. That must have been telling for them to have to call each other out.
Well, let's look at some of the losses in the league, right? So far, like, I don't want
to
cover.
They also lost to a very young, Oklahoma City team that I think will be a 7 seed.
Chet get crossed over though?
Yeah, but I also know that Chet Holmgren now gives the Thunder a legitimate third scorer with Shea and Josh Giddey. And defensively, they're going to give people fits.
They are. That's what I'm like. Just
defensively, they're going to give people fits.
It's showing already right there.
Five. The smallest guy in the court is, what, 6'5", 6'6", but he's strong as a bull with Lu Dort. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is coming off first team All-NBA, and he'll probably be top three in MVP voting.
This season?
Potentially. I mean, he'll have the numbers.
No.
He won't? You don't think he'll have
the numbers? Oh, no, he'll have the numbers. I don't think he'll be in the I think maybe top six at best. We're crowded. It's crowded this year.
It is. But I think the NBA is always going to consider the guy who hasn't won it already and kind of came out of nowhere. If he comes off another year where he had last year, he has to be put in MVP voting because at this point, you were already first team NBA. At this point, there's no other award to achieve outside of that besides MVP.
True. Fair point.
Yeah, 31-10 last night.
Yeah, he'll be their numbers guy. He'll be that guy where the team is not maybe where it needs to be record-wise, but we'll get
votes. He averaged 30 last year. He'll average 30 again. And if he gets anywhere where it's 7-8 assists, he's getting 5 rebounds, and they're tussling for that 6 or 7 spot. Oh, man. Because I think the West is top heavy.
That thing's a little thick in the middle, pause. But,
I mean, I don't know. I think John Morant being suspended hurts the Grizzlies like tremendously.
When you say top, what are your top team? Like, this is 1 through 4. It's deeper than that.
Is it?
Yeah, it's deeper than that. Name Nuggets. Me your 4. Name me. Mm-hmm.
Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Lakers are on that Suns and Nuggets right, level.
Okay, but just go ahead. Continue. I'm not saying anything. Mm-hmm. It's 4.
That's 4.
Right. You don't think the Clippers?
No.
Everybody healthy. You don't think the Clippers?
No.
Warriors?
Maybe. No.
Clippers Mavericks? And Warriors is everyone healthy for no. me.
I think the Thunder can compete with all those teams.
Okay, so I was going to say and the Thunder.
That's my point. I think the Thunder can compete with all those teams.
I think so, we're overlooking the Timberwolves.
I'm not done yet.
They lost last night.
Someone had to lose, Chris.
Yeah, but they lost to a team that didn't make the playoffs either.
Okay. Well, things change. Now, have gotten
worse in the offseason.
Well, I mean, look, the Miami Heat were in the finals, and they fucking just beat the Detroit Pistons by 1 point last night.
Cade Cunningham. They were up 20 the whole game.
I'm just saying, you know.
Shout out to Cade Cunningham, too. Cade Cunningham is on my list of guys. I think he's going to get most improved. He's my pick for most improved.
Yeah.
Him with Jordan Poole. But
not going to argue with you on most improved because you're really spot on with most improved.
And I think Cade Cunningham, healthy, is going to get dark for a lot of people in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing Cade Cunningham in person, somebody who's legit 6'7", that strong, and being like the primary ball handler and like the pick and roll and the pace and everything and the isolation of it, he going to give everybody hell. If he stay healthy, he going to give everybody hell.
He's pretty good. He's one of my favorites.
He's definitely one of my favorite young guys to watch.
I got to catch some Detroit games. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Nah,
they're
going to
be really
him.
Fun to watch, though.
You get to see him, you know, 4 times a year, you know, when he plays your guys.
Yeah.
Are they like, hey, it's Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and that's the league pass game to watch? No, but just, you know, those nights where, hey, the games that we wanted to watch, one of them ends up being a blowout or you finish a good game and now you don't know what to watch, check them out. For me, the Orlando Magic is that team the beginning of the season. I'll always watch Orlando Magic games, like the first 10 games of the season, because they're very good. And then from 10 to the rest of the season, they're ass.
Thunder was that team for me last year.
I mean, but the Thunder turned it around.
Yeah.
Thunder will be that team, but I think Detroit, with the young guys that they have individually, they'll be fun to watch. You have Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, who is one spectacular play away a night with just his athleticism, his ability to get downhill. In the backcourt with Cade Cunningham, the young twin Thompson. How versatile he is.
Wayne referred to him as Tony Allen earlier. Wayne referred to him as Tony Allen earlier.
He's better offensively than Tony Allen, but Wayne isn't wrong with his role. He'll definitely have a Tony Allen kind of role. He had 5 blocks last night. He didn't shoot it well, but he had 5 blocks last night.
Right.
Jalen Duren, who is, I would say, your biggest comparison will probably be low end Andre Drummond, high end Dwight Howard. That's why I said low end and high end. Yeah, 14.7.
No. I get what you mean, like in a basketball reference type.
Yeah, the basketball reference.
Just had enough of Dwight Howard talk this morning. So
fair enough.
Yeah, gotta be careful.
But yeah, Detroit is gonna be that team that I'll watch a lot more this year. Along with OKC. I love Josh Giddey. I love Anthony Edwards. I just can't. I just don't like that Minnesota team. I just don't like it.
Well, it was a pointless trading for Gobert.
It's an ugly roster.
Yeah, it's not an attractive roster. Like, I just feel like Gobert just kind of, I don't know.
Like, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault, but I'd much rather watch Naz Reid in that lineup with Conley, Edwards, McDaniels, Cat, and Naz Reid. And now it's just way more space. It's just all 5 of those guys can play on the perimeter, you know, but you got length. all those three guys is 6'10", or Naz Reid is what, 6'9", 6'10", Cat 7 foot, Jaden McDaniels is 6'10", and probably will be in conversation for Defensive Player of the Year.
I like McDaniels a lot.
Like, with Anthony Edwards going, probably be like top three, you probably jump into the top three shooting guard conversation this year, if he's not already. Some people might have him fourth, depending on where you title Shea. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, man. I think the Celtics, man, are going to be people's problems.
Yeah, as you saw, as everybody saw last night, Holiday's just going to shut people down, and you're not even going to realize that. And he's going to conserve so much energy with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum taking the offensive load, and Porzingis taking the offensive load. Porzingis just wants to play offense.
So. He's kind of, if you look at Drew Holiday and the formula for success surrounded around Drew Holiday, this is kind of like. This is kind of, I don't want to say like Milwaukee, but this is like successful for him, right? Because when he was playing in New Orleans and AD was healthy and it was him, Rondo, and AD and DeMarcus Cousins, like this is kind of the same role that he had.
It's Drew Holiday, the basketball player.
Yeah.
But it's less offensive role. Like they expect Drew to put up more points than he has to. And expound the amount of energy on defense.
Who's expecting that?
He was expected last season in Milwaukee. He was expected last season before.
That too.
You know, he carries a lot of load.
But I mean, but only because of the scoring output, like what he did in the postseason when they won the championship, what he did on when he saved us when they got there and we won the gold medal. And be honest with you, he saved us.
And with Giannis on the fourth quarter, because of the free throw liability, he became more of a focal point on having to score in the fourth quarter. And I don't think that role is for him. That role is a little difficult for him, especially if Giannis is either banged up or can't commit to his free throw shooting. And I think Boston's a perfect fit with Porzingis and the other two, Tatum and Brown.
Now, I was just getting ready to say, right, not too much on your team last night, but how serious do you take Kristaps Porzingis on the Boston Celtics after last night?
He's found his joy. He's happy. I don't know that. There's about a lot of racist jokes. I'm gonna let Tito make it with that green jersey and that white skin. But he looks happy. And he's serious. As long as he's healthy.
You saw that too. Once they said that when that green jersey goes on, that white skin is gonna unlock his true powers.
Did you see him last night? He played amazing. I'm happy.
Of course, I watched him last night. Of course, I was watching that game. This is what I want, right, for us to do. Grow up, right? I'm going to tell Tito this later. Grow up and watch these fucking games and enjoy them because we all enjoy this sport very much so. Watch the game, right? Eliminate the trolling all the time. I understand some games call for it, but you had a really good game last night.
Nah, you can't say that. You can't say that. You're saying that only because AD was getting hit with those AI photos, like in halftime of the first game.
Stevie, that came like after, right? And I didn't even see that because guess what? I didn't go on social media at all during the game. I sat here and I watched the game peacefully, like especially with me being off now, right? So now I get to sit in front of the television, watch all the games, you know, in real time, not have to duck spoilers. The group chat or anything else like that, or wait till, you know, 12, 1 o'clock to watch these games in its entirety. I got to watch it live, and it's like, bro, just enjoy the game. Like, LeBron needs to retire. This, and I'm like, yo, bro, watch the game, man. Enjoy it. This man didn't show any signs of needing to retire in that game. Anthony Davis also did go against the best player in basketball. Like,
they played against the best player in basketball.
Yeah, so has everyone else the last 3-4 years. Guess what? Someone else is going to get destroyed tomorrow night, too, when they play them. Like, that's just how it is. Like, he's the best player in the league right now. Yes, and, you know, Anthony Davis is a great defensive player.
I was going to say, he's probably the best defender in the league, too.
Yeah, he shows signs of it, but this guy's just that good. Did you see Dikembe Mutombo when he was the defensive player of the year and then he got dominated by Shaq? Like, that happens. Like, you can't do anything with him right now.
The reads are impossible right now.
Yeah, you can't do anything with him. You can't step back off of him because he'll shoot it. You know, you really can't press up on him too much because he'll just back you down, and then you can't leave to help because he'll find the open man. Like, you just you either have to build something, you know, for the time being, which one team will probably be equipped to neutralize him to some form, but it may not be the championship team. They may just be just built to beat the Nuggets. But I mean, as far as they go for long term success right now, this is going to happen to a lot of players.
I'm not sure I see anybody beating the Nuggets
right now.
I'm not sure.
It'll happen. It's early.
It's early, but I look at the role guys: Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon, KCP. Like, Christian Brown has, like, been balling.
The only thing is, I
feel like Jamal Murray just doesn't get the respect because he plays with Jokic. But, like, why isn't Jamal Murray considered a top 10 point guard?
Well, what did I call him? Absolutely, he's considered a top 10 point guard. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's top 10. The injuries kept him from the All-Star game.
Well, what did you see? What did you see I called him last year in the postseason, especially when they got to the finals? I said he's the comeback player of the century.
Agreed. Like, Jamal Murray is nasty, bro.
They gave him shit for sitting out the last playoffs the year before, but honestly, you got to know your body. You got to trust it. And look, he proved he's right. He sat out. He played great this last season.
They got the best player in basketball, not the best. They got the best player in basketball right now.
So are you saying that afforded him the time to sit out and fully recover?
What?
Them having Nikola Jokic?
No, I think they sat him out because if he plays, do they win the championship 2 years ago?
Okay, so can I say something now?
But
I don't know if – well, I'm pretty sure you've seen this, but you can see that's my take with Zion. That's my take with a lot of players. I spoke about this a little earlier with Kawhi, right? We don't realize, right, those of us who aren't familiar with these sports injuries and the time frames, that they say 6 to 9 months, the guy will – you know, whatever it is, 6 months, 9 months, a year, they come back. And then you're expecting once that time frame comes that this player to be this exact player physically he was the last time we saw him. You have to work your way back to being at least as good as you were then. And the league has changed. You know, it changes. People get worse. People get better, whatever the case may be. Like I said, you're kind of trying to at least catch up to what you were, even if you weren't even in mid-season form yet. But if you left off at a good space, you know, before you got hurt.
Forgive me. I completely disrespected the Pelicans. The Pelicans stay hurt. They're the top five team.
I was gonna come back to that later to you because we're already at like 9 or 10 teams. So
maybe I spoke too early about the Thunder.
No. My whole thing when I was talking to you was you were saying it's top heavy and you were like 1 to 4. And I wanted to come back and ask, was does your top heavy mean title contenders or you just mean like really good? Because these guys are all really good, like 1 through 9.
They're thick in the middle. So you got two great teams
Stop talking to me like that, bro. Stop talking to me like that.
Say
pause, bro.
Nah, pause. Stick in the middle. Tight.
So the top two teams, you got the Suns and the Nuggets.
I don't think the Suns are a top two team.
But so who's the second team?
Who's that two team? Then it's even more crazier as you go down the middle of the list. You got the Warriors, right. Lakers.
I thought you were going to say go down the middle Booker, of the thickness.
Devin Booker is one of my favorite players. Yes. I'm going to piss Sean off. Yeah.
It's not going to piss me off. I understand why you like Devin Booker.
I think
he can't dunk.
Yeah. I think the East is top heavy.
You say he's light-skinned and he can't dunk. That's why you like him?
Yes. He still get 30.
That's a fact. I just said he's very good. He just doesn't wow me. Look, there's no defense. Look, awkward silence. He doesn't wow anybody. No,
it's fine. Doesn't wow you. It's fine. But you did give him compliments. You said he's like probably the best player in the NBA right now getting his spot.
Yeah, he is. No one can stop him from getting to do what he wants to do. That's it. He's going to get where he wants to get, and he's going to score there. And it's efficient too. It's very efficient. It's not like, hey, I'm just trying to get to my spot to get my shit off. It's like he gets there.
I watched Luka Doncic do yesterday. It was absolutely amazing too.
You can't stop him either.
That's my early MVP pick.
Luka?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that pick.
I think he's going to have a top five season. Top five.
Well, he
team.
Was good. He looked like the MVP last year until he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. I think he has a better team around him right now. Just he's going to play a little bit off, more off the ball with Kyrie there, and that's going to do good for him. And as you saw last night, he was electric.
Chris, I think we did very well last night, yesterday, or the last 2 days with our basketball discussion, especially with the Twins. You heard, Chris?
What'd you say?
I said I think we did very well with our basketball discussions and the calmness of the topics yesterday. And
absolutely, opening that. That's because Steph was on his best behavior.
Yeah, because that shit last night. That I get it. I get what it is when we watch things in real time. And Stevie, basically what it was is that we said that they said that Kyrie Irving is the most gifted guard ever.
One of. I didn't say the, but I said one of.
Well, it started out that way.
Stephon. I never agree with
him. Well, it started out that way.
I never agree with him. And he said he's one of the gifted guards ever. Like,
I mean, that's an obvious statement.
Allen Iverson and Penny Hardaway. And I agreed.
But the first person I thought of was Magic Johnson as far as giftedness.
See, you know what's crazy? Is when they threw Penny in there. I didn't even say it last night. I said Magic. But then I said, I'll do a thing where I'll just start throwing out names and then I'll get to certain people to get to my point, right? Maybe it wastes a little time. I don't know. But then for me, I'm like, yeah, I get it. But I brought up Steph Curry. I'm like, he's the most gifted guard ever. So what is Steph Curry?
I didn't agree with the most gifted guard ever. Now, Kyrie, from a skill set, strictly skill set standpoint, I stand on this. Kyrie is probably the most skilled player I've ever seen in my life.
Because it looks pretty.
It's the overall package. He has a package.
I think it's the overall package and the size.
The shooting.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Because that's the preferred style of play visually for you, right?
I just say it like this, right?
Steph can't ISO like he can.
I look at all the other things, right? Like if Allen Iverson was 6'6", what is the greatest of all time conversation look like, right? If Kyrie was 6'6", what is the overall all time point guard conversation look like?
And that's what makes Wembanyama so scary because he looks like that.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
He's 7'6".
Making them 6'6" may take away something from their game.
It will.
Like what?
I don't know. Are you saying if he's 6'6" with the same speed, the length, like certain things the timing may be a little different with you having those extra inches. Pause.
With that same game, he's able to play above the rim.
Now, okay, him playing above the rim now may cause for different timing.
Take away from his handle.
It may even if so, if he keeps the same handle and he gets to the basket, he's above the rim, like you're talking about different level of contact now, different level of smartness in attacking the basket, you know?
I think him at 6'6", that shit gets real drastic.
I'm going to be honest with you, like everyone always like, you know, we love the underdog story and we love the things that we're not able to do when we look at something who can score efficiently or, you know, they perform really well without having these physical attributes, you know, that the average person doesn't have, you know. And
I'm still going to go with Allen Iverson as the most gifted guard ever because of size, the position he played, and the era he played in. Your favorite shooting guard played in the Allen Iverson era outside of Michael Jordan?
Who's my favorite shooting guard?
It might be Michael Jordan.
Okay.
But not yours specifically. I'm talking about.
Oh, you were telling a general statement. Oh, because I mean, that's my favorite shooting guard.
Yeah, but outside of, if your favorite shooting guard isn't Michael Jordan, it's probably somebody that's played in the early 2000s.
It's Kobe Bryant if it's not Michael.
It might not be Kobe. It might be Dwayne Wade.
It could be Tracy McGrady.
Vince Carter. It might be Tracy McGrady. It might be Brandon Roy. It might be Seattle Ray Allen.
I need to have a topic. I need to have a discussion as far as those people you just named. But I'll save that at some point in the season if I can remember.
But I'm just saying, like, look at the names I just named.
No. I know. No, that's why I want to have a discussion about some of these things.
It was a heavy guard and wing.
But, like, the two-guard position at that time.
The competitiveness at the two-guard position at that time. Yeah. I want to have a real discussion about that at some point.
Crazy.
The late 90s were crazy. Yeah, everybody.
No. These guys in their peak form was this was 2000. This was early 2000.
This was
if you take 2003, 2004, Paul Pierce, shit. I mean, even go out and say Ron Artest, Rip Hamilton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it,
even guys that scored that didn't really get Coutinho, Mobley.
I thought about him. Did you say Steve Francis?
I didn't say Steve Francis because of
Stephon Marbury.
Point guard. Okay, but I'm just saying. If you just want to throw guards in there, if you want to throw guards in there and get nasty, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, Gary Payton, Stephon Marbury,
Gilbert,
Gil.
Gil got a late start. Gil's
he had a late start, but he came and fucked them all up.
Yeah, he's
fucked
like
everybody up. He's like running from Gilbert Arenas for 3 years.
He's like mid.
We're not gonna sit here and act like.
I'm not. I love those guys. I mean, if you want to take the
underrated Kevin Martin,
if you want to take the 2000s, like from 2000 to 2010, then absolutely. I mean, that's where you know. That's my favorite era of basketball.
My favorite era.
Like, the worst shooting guard you had was Kerry Kittles? That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. But even like he just said, like, Kevin Martin. Like
Kevin Martin averaged 24 for, like, a couple years. 25. Yeah,
you had guys that were, like...
And he was, like, the 20th best shooting guard.
And the crazy part is, like, there was no, like, the three-point wasn't emphasized as much as it is now.
Nope. Houston Spree.
Monte Ellis.
Houston Monte Spree was fucking people up.
Like, so it's like, it gets, it's just different, man. That era is crazy, man. So, and you throw Allen Iverson in it, and Allen Iverson is the, outside of Kobe, might be the best. You got MVP. You got a P. So, for me, the most gifted guard is Allen Iverson.
But that's why I was just like, how do we just, you know, I know the recency bias. And, how do we throw aside a Allen Iverson? And then are we specifying it to guards under 6'6"? That's why I asked what the hell was the criteria? Because sometimes when we start, my mind just expands to the entire history of the league and certain players.
You can't throw a height on it because you got guys like Magic Johnson who's 6'9". You haven't seen anybody with that ability to pass the ball at 6'9". That fluid.
But the way
the game was played.
To take over a Lakers team and lead them to 5 championships.
I mean, to take over a Lakers team and save the NBA. Fuck the Lakers.
Yeah. Save the NBA, win 5 championships, beat your fucking rival.
Him and Larry Bird saved the league until...
Extend Kareem's career.
Larry Bird and Magic Johnson saved the league with additional help from Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan. That gave you 4 guys that you really, 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 really wanted to watch.
I mean, just with this in general, like I said, you have to go more into detail because we always overlook things, right? Like you're always going to look at scoring. We always look at scoring as number one, right? And like I said, I had a conversation over the summer about the most dominant player in the league, and why is Jokic not dominant? Because he can't dunk the ball and he's slow.
No, he's the most dominant player in the league because he dominates 5 categories, maybe 6.
But you saw, I was saying that, and I was getting so much because he's slow and he's unathletic,
and that's what makes him lazy. Dominant.
And I was like, yeah. So why is he dominating the league? You know, like for instance, like you know the I don't want to jump into. I'm just gonna jump in, jump out. The all-time leading scorer doesn't have the prettiest looking game, but he's still the fucking all-time leading scorer. Like there's nothing next to it that says, oh, most of these are from dunks or whatever or jump shot. You know, in the case maybe like Kyrie shit. It looks very nice. It's like the totality of basketball, how he's skilled. It looks beautiful, right? But then you got to go.
This is where I'll give Kareem credit, right? Because Kareem was the holder of the record before LeBron, right? The most impressive thing with Kareem, not more so. In the 70s, but in the 80s, towards his end of his career, where he was able to still leg out another 8 years, right? 7-8 years. For those seasons, somebody had to give him the ball.
Yeah.
You know how efficient you got to be to continue to be the leading all-time scorer, and somebody has to give you the ball? Whereas LeBron, he has the ball.
Yeah.
And it's no takeaway from LeBron. It's just more... giving more flowers to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But can I say something? No, but when you have the most gifted passer you might as well say you could say the most gifted passer and probably the one of the best offenses, or you might as well say the best offense in league history. Don't you think that makes it a little bit easier for you?
But even crazier with all those options?
I'm asking.
With all those options?
No.
And because, the playoff usage?
No.
That's fucking nuts.
No. I'm going to tell you why. Because what made that Laker team really, really great was their ability to play in transition, which nobody got to see that in the 80s. Everything was slow. Right. However, Kareem was the outlet guy. There's never a highlight in the Lakers in transition in the 80s where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is running the floor and he's getting a dunk.
Right.
There's no highlight. It's James Worthy. It's Byron Scott. It's Michael Cooper. But for the most part, the person who benefited the most was Michael Thompson, James Worthy. Right. James Worthy had a Hall of Fame career because he was single-handedly able to benefit from Magic Johnson in scoring in transition. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the outlet guy. That shit, he outletted that shit and didn't cross the foul line.
He didn't have to.
I'm going to stay right here. Y'all going to score. I'm going to stay right here. We're going
to
do that shit again.
You don't
the only
to.
Time Kareem scores is when they missed or when they made a basket.
Yeah. Yeah. And when the game slowed down, which was a lot because everything was slow down the ball so the Lakers don't run it. Slowed it down so the Lakers don't run it. Right. Slow it down. And that's when Kareem killed them every time they made them pay.
Yeah.
But if you say the Lakers got out 20, like the NBA team might get out 40 times in transition now. Even if the Lakers in the 80s got out 20 times in transition, 15 times in transition, let's say 15. That's 15 times Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did not touch the ball.
For the most leading scorer in the NBA history is that's absurd,
isn't it? Evolution of the game, right?
So why are we debating Magic Johnson as the greatest, most gifted point guard of all time?
No, it was just
no, he's the greatest point guard of all time. It's not, but I just like gift wise, like I think gifted wise, he's like the most, like we say Steph Curry's the most gifted shooter.
No, he's the greatest shooter.
But we threw him in there as gifted. That's gifted, right?
I mean, because we were talking about one thing that makes him gifted, right? Because what I was saying, you know, when I threw Steph in there is I said, but you guys wouldn't dare throw Kyrie Irving in an all-time debate.
No, you won't. You just don't have the accolades. But, like,
so then
probably
I wouldn't
the best passer ever, right? But
yeah,
you got certain guys that's gifted, like Penny Hardaway wasn't, like, and Penny Hardaway's my everybody knows Penny's my favorite player ever. Where you got somebody that's almost the same size as Magic, not a better passer than Magic, but through his career, a really good passer, can score it, shoot it, get to the mid-range, and was super athletic. Like, that was like he's gifted in that regard because of all the tools he possessed. A lot of that, I think what makes you gifted is when you have talent and your talent matches your skill. That's what makes you gifted. A Michael Jordan, a Kobe Bryant, those guys were gifted because they had God-given talent on top of super top-notch film.
You see, I didn't even use Michael.
Huh?
You see, I didn't even use Michael.
I mean, I think that's the obvious.
I mean, that's, but then how do you put him there? Like, when
no,
we
that's
start
hard work, dedication.
Like, from what you're saying, is it's like Kyrie Irving's and he's in the conversation for greatest handle of all time. But that's it, you know? I mean, like, it goes, like, the game is so relatable because it's like, well, I can work really hard and I can have a good handle too, you know? But there's other things you can't do. Like, unfortunately, I can't dribble. I can't have the same vert as Mike. I can't be 6'6". I can work on shooting and be like Steph. You know, those
Kyrie Irving, for somebody his size, a lot of people can't do what he does.
I'm not saying that you can.
I'm just saying, like, there's not that many 6'3 guys posting up and being effective in the mid-post.
Yes.
There's not that many guys. Like, nobody finishes below the rim like Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, because it goes beyond of his just having the greatest handle and probably, well, I don't want to say probably because, I mean, he is. Probably, but I'm going to say probably the greatest below the rim score, because usually when we say these things in real time, that we tend to forget about other people who are really good. And then
they're really
and
good,
then,
but they're not better.
And then
than
that's
Kyrie,
when
I'm sorry.
Well, we said he was the most gifted guard ever, and then look, we're having a whole
segment about the gifted guard. I said one up.
Yeah, obviously,
he definitely deserves a spot top five gifted.
We're just trying to package him into. We're trying to award him some best of.
I love Kyrie. I love Kyrie. I love watching Kyrie Irving play. I will pay money every time to go watch Kyrie. I think that with him, because we're having this discussion about how great he is, right? I'm just eliminate gifted because he's really great, right? Is that his greatness isn't sustainable because the availability is not there, whether it's through injury or just foolishness or whatever and whatnot. It's the expectations are set really high when you watch him play. If I never told you anything about this kid and I sat you down in the first game you watched him play and you see what he does, it's like, oh my God, he should be able to do this every night. And he doesn't.
And you know what? Let's see the season. Let's see how he goes. He got a fresh start, fresh team in Dallas. He got a lot of support behind him.
Derek Lively, the steal of the draft.
I won't disagree because I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. This season,
Derek Lively won them the game last year.
Far removed from what.
Yeah, nobody's watching. No one was watching for steals when Wemby was out there.
Yeah.
Derek Lively won them the game last night.
You could be right.
If you go back and watch the recap,
I fell asleep after the Wemby three.
That's cool. Go back and watch the recap. Everybody got league pass. Go back and watch it. Derek Lively had 12 points, 12 rebounds. But in the last 4 minutes, look at how many shots he blocked, changed, or just got a defensive stop, which allowed them not to get a
So his stocks. His stocks are high.
It's the stops.
I'm glad that you brought that up. And I want us to be the people who lead this, right? And how the game is being viewed now, because to be honest with you, I think for everyone who grew up watching basketball in our era, we all have a better understanding of the game now and whatnot and how the game is played and how it's changed. And someone needs to be the one that highlights these things to the younger generation and whatnot. You see how you mentioned shot altering and stops? That's not credited enough. I think once upon a time it was, you know, because you just had role players, but a lot of times we don't look at, like, you'll look at the miscues, like, it's, oh, he fell asleep, somebody beat him back door, or oh, he reached and he got crossed, whatever the case may be. You'll always point the, you know, put the magnifying glass in the low lights, but never the highlights. Like a guy like that, like, I'm glad you're bringing attention to him, because this may be something that will get overseen because he didn't have 30 points last night.
No, I mean, I think, but I mean, at this point, I think for me, it's different. I mean, I'm in a different part of basketball where, no offense to anybody else, but I'm not a casual. I'm not a casual NBA. Like, I'm not a casual basketball fan.
Right.
I watch this because it's part of my profession. Like, I want to be one of the best coaches ever. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, it's like, I can't watch it as a casual. So, yeah. for me, when I'm coaching a kid, it's, you're not going to block every shot.
Right.
But if you get three blocks, but you change seven more because you weren't able to block it, but they saw you coming on the help side or pause, or you were already in help and you made them change their shot in some way where it went from an easy basket to a miss, we rebound. You do that seven more times outside of the three blocks that you already blocked. That's 10 times that they did not score. However, we win by five.
Mm-hmm. But what did I say to you last time about Wembanyama? And anybody I've been talking to, I've been saying this is the most interesting thing that I want to, you know, see impact-wise for him is how he's going to just alter everything on the perimeter.
He's going to alter everything on the perimeter.
Everything. Like,
the issue with him will be his rebounded numbers will be terrible. He's never going to rebound.
I mean, well, what do you want from him at that point? If you have somebody else that can rebound, he's not at the five. Pop's got him at the four for, you know,
I just,
for
his, I know that his skill set and versatility. Like, his rebounding numbers are never going. His rebound numbers are going to be like Brooke Lopez.
But that needs. But, you know, as not to say like, hey, we got a super following. But people need to start looking at the game that way and not expect this guy to have 15 rebounds a night because he's fucking 11 feet tall. You know, and he should be. No, he's not where the traditional big man is playing. You know. Even I'll take his eight rebounds if, like Chris said, he's getting 10 stops a game, like more.
If
like,
he changes teams' whole game plans.
If he gets eight rebounds, I don't think anybody says is going to say anything to him, right? The issue is, I think the issue is, the only critique is, like, if you turn on ESPN, I haven't watched it yet.
But I think anybody that's going to be like the not devil's advocate, they're going to look for something to critique. The thing that they're going to critique is the rebound. He had two. Now, it's still early. It's his first game.
How many blocks did he have?
I don't know. I don't.
One. He ended with one.
So he wasn't on the court that long because he was in foul.
He wasn't.
But it's not glaring yet because Tim Duncan had the same number. They had the same exact stat line in their debuts. They both had 15 points. They both had two rebounds, and they both shot 6 for 9.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. The kid showed flashes of there might be a moment.
He was also in foul trouble, though.
Yeah, he was in foul trouble, absolutely. But he showed flashes last night where he has the ability to take over the game, like the last 4 minutes, winning time, clutch points. He showed moments where it's like, yo, I got 6 points coming in the fourth quarter. You subbing me in a game with 7 minutes left. I got 15 now.
Right.
That was a good game. It was everything that was expected. Don't put your expectations too high. He's playing for the Spurs right now.
No, I'm not putting my expectations high on any of these guys. Mm-hmm. What I did like though, Zion looked healthy. If Zion stays healthy, everybody watch out.
Yeah.
The only I worry about the defense on that team. I don't know if everybody's going to have that same effort.
Who do you
on the Pelicans? I just worry about defense on the Pelicans.
Who, what? They have some of the best defenders in the league.
I know, but
Jose Alvarado.
He's healthy. He's back.
If once he gets healthy, they have Jose Alvarado. Mm. They have Herb Jones, who's a nightmare for any fucking body.
Yep.
Trey Murphy's going to get paid because he's going to be your prototypical 3-and-D guy that's going to guard everybody from 2 to 4.
Right.
I worry about Zion, Ingram, and CJ.
Their job isn't to defend.
I know.
Us four. You got Valanciunas. Us four, we going to guard.
That's a bunch of people that's not that guarding at their best.
Especially if all three of them on the court at the same time.
That's the thing, and that's their most effective. But
here's the thing, though. Everybody gives a lot more effort when the ball's going through the hoop.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Only three motherfuckers right now can guard all three of them.
Can't. No. Nobody.
Maybe. Yeah. Only team that I see that can guard them, like, matchup-wise, is Boston.
Boston can match up with anybody at this point right now.
The Clippers can match up with them.
Clippers got to match up with themselves first before anybody talks about the Clippers.
That's a fact.
Like, they played great last night, and I'm just like, let's just wait. They burned me too many times.
I just want a competitive, healthy year. Like, I want Kawhi Leonard to get back to being Kawhi Leonard for the most part. Paul George is.
Kawhi had a very good game last night.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
I want to see Terrence Mann take another step.
Oh, these are your boys. This is your fake second.
I'm gonna go see him next week. Relax. Play at the Garden.
Oh, okay. When they come, okay. I thought you were gonna go to.
I tried to. I had Knicks Clippers tickets. What, 3 years ago when the pandemic hit? That shit got canceled like a week before.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad that didn't
happen. Re-up.
You were gonna go all the way to California to watch the Clippers?
No. If I'm in town, yeah, maybe. But
You had tickets to watch them in the Garden.
Yeah, in the Garden, and then they shut down the season.
Okay, I thought you meant that's the trip you were going to take.
I'll never.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
It's only for Wembanyama.
Yeah, when your mama, that's what I call him.
Yo.
When your mama playing. That's my guy.
All right, guys.
No, I think
we've hit the end of the road.